Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Sylvia Morales. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you receive alerts when the new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. So in your 20s, were you drinking more or something, or what was going on in your 20s?
In my 20s, I mean, I had a lot of fun and, you know, like partying. I mean, it was never anything extreme, but I also didn't make the greatest choices with the guys that I dated there. I dated some really great guys, but because I had self-esteem issues, I never stayed with the great guys. I ended up dating, you know, and having fun with the bad boys, with the, you know, with the musicians or with the guys that were just completely emotionally unavailable to me. Those were the guys that I'd be like, if he would just love me, you know, you have that mentality that I had that mentality back then, that if I could just get somebody to love me, I just wanted to be in a relationship then so bad. And then, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm single. It's single girls night. Let's go. And I mean, then the next thing you know, it's like five nights in a row and you've drank more chronic Coke than you probably should have, or you've had more, you know, more tequila than you should have. And granted, I was always in a safe space because I was with my girlfriends and we never had anything bad happen to us. But again, that was, you know, that was self-destructive in itself because I was covering things that I hadn't dealt with and I wasn't ready to deal with at that time. And then when I had this one relationship that kind of blew up in my face and I was like, it's time for me to deal with my crap. Like, it's time. Like, it was time for me to just deal with, you know, with, I guess, with, for lack of a better term, daddy issues that I hadn't healed yet. And I took a lot of time because I knew what I wanted to bring to the table as far as a relationship was concerned. But I also needed to make sure that it was somebody that I wasn't going to have like fill a void, because I think, you know, that when you bring people in your life to fill a void, you're still void. Like, you have to be whole and complete within yourself and know that you really are that divine, beautifully loved being made by God. And for me, that was really my saving grace in my 20s. And after I experienced that breakup, I was like, oh, I've still got crap. I need to heal. And then, you know, with other relationships as the years have gone by, that I realized, I'm like, okay, you know what? I was not the best version of myself. But with each one, I learn. I'm like, okay, I know where I went wrong. And again, it takes two to tango. So seeking forgiveness from that person and apologizing for not being at the highest level of yourself and just wishing them that they find the person that is good for their soul, that will be a compliment to them, but that won't fill whatever void they were hoping I would fill. And then I was hoping they would fill a void that I had. And that's just going to combust and blow up in your face. But when you take two people that, and this is, I think, I'm about to turn 40. And this is what's so beautiful and liberating about turning 40 is that I can honestly say, like, at 40, so comfortable with my skin, with my soul, with my life, that I realized that I didn't need to have somebody. That anybody that is in my life, it's just, they really are just complimenting. And it's a really liberating and beautiful thing when you can look at the people that are in your life and know that you're there because we want each other in each other's lives, not because we have this desperate need to have somebody and because we don't know how to be alone. And instead we're like, no, you know what, tonight I want to just read my book or hang out with my kids and make slime in the kitchen. Like, that's how I'm gonna hang out tonight. I don't need to be around a ton of people like I did when I was in my 20s.
I agree that you're right. No one can fill a void within another person. Like, all the relationships that we have should be
icing on the top of what we are, because otherwise we can drain that person and pretty much destroy that relationship to some degree.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, and I don't necessarily think those things are terrible either, because they're learning experiences for us to grow, because they really make you look inside and go, I picked that person because I thought, and it's even if you've been in an abusive relationship, like I thought I deserved that. See, you, because I've been in relationships like that too, where I really had to check myself and go, God, I thought I deserved somebody to treat me like that. And I allowed that to happen in my life. And it's not about beating yourself up over it or beating the other self up person up over it. It's just a matter of, you know, what you allow and what you show people, what you feel about yourself is how people really are ultimately going to treat you.
True. I agree. It's because it's that inner conversation that we're having all the time that draws certain things and experiences constantly into our lives. Yeah. So can you describe, you mentioned this earlier, meditation and breath work. Could you talk a little about that?
Absolutely. So just as an example, like I was flying this week, and flying, like, departure and the landing always makes me a little bit nervous. And even, you know, there are moments in motherhood that leave you feeling nervous, frustrated, and all kinds of different emotions. And so, you know, as the plane departs, they're called mudras, and it's yoga for your hands. We have 10,000 nerve endings in our fingertips. And so these mudras help align basically like the energy within our hands, which is what yoga does also. It helps align. It helps you. I mean, yoga is ancient. It's been around for over 2,000 years. Our ancestors knew how to make our bodies work for us, right? But we forget because we place our attention in the externals. So just by coming back to your breath, the mudras help me align my energy, which reminds me, okay, I'm like, okay, stay present, stay centered. I allow myself to just, and I do an exercise, and I learned it one of my trainings, and it's called Dantian breathing, where I just imagine my breath coming in through my nose, and it washes down the crown of my head like a peaceful wave filled with love, and it just expands from the bottom of my lungs all throughout the top, and I feel that expanding throughout my entire body, and I just imagine it radiating and blasting. We have trillions of cells in our bodies. So I just imagine like my body getting like this just blast of peace. And then as I'm exhaling, whatever it was that was I was feeling, like I'm exhaling it out just away from my body, knowing that God's just going to blow that, wind's going to take that, and it's going to blow it away from me. And, you know, it's not the first breath. It's not the second breath. It's after the 10th breath that you really start to feel that peace, because a lot of times, and people think, oh, you've got the yoga high after you take a class because you feel a little bit lightheaded, you feel so airy, you feel so peaceful, and it's because most people have forgotten how to breathe correctly. So they're just taking half breaths from their chest. And if you watch the way people breathe, they only breathe from their chest as opposed to taking those full diaphragmatic breaths, which are the breaths that we're supposed to get, which those are the breaths that nourish ourselves, that nourish our brain, that completely nourishes our body. So our bodies really aren't functioning optimally when we're really only taking half of a breath. And for me, the meditation, I meditate before bed every night, and then in the morning as soon as I wake up. And even when I have my kids, I put my kids to bed, and if I fall asleep, I have a little alarm that I set so that I can wake up and I can do my nighttime meditation, and then I get up before they do. Because my meditation time that's one thing I don't compromise. Meditating for me is like breathing. I need both of them. I need them both. And we can't live without breathing. So, and I literally cannot live without my meditation. It really sets the tone for my day. And I have done a lot of, like, you know, through meditation, like retraining my subconscious mind and releasing a lot of the old limiting beliefs that I had about myself, because I really, like, when I look back on where I was as a teenager and even at 21, like, I didn't like myself. I didn't. And I would, you know, I would argue to say that anybody that is lighting up a cigarette and slowly poisoning their body, they really need to take a look within and see why they are slowly poisoning themselves. Because it's not that you like the nicotine. It's not that you think you have a reason. You have an excuse. And the nicotine is just the crutch. Something within you is making you feel like you don't feel good enough. And you just need to tell that little thing that it needs to buzz off. Because that's literally what I did. When those thoughts start to come up, I have an exercise that I give my students and that I would do with myself. Whenever those not good enough thoughts, right, your inner critic starts going off and telling you, well, why are you wearing that? You know, you might need to either gain a couple pounds or lose a couple pounds before you think you could wear that outfit. Or why are you wearing that lipstick? Or why even wear makeup at all, right? Or why did you say that? Or you're not smart enough to take that class. All those thoughts that go through our head that are just limiting beliefs that we are imposing on ourselves, right? Somebody said something to us 5 years ago, you're a worthless piece of crap. That's their reality. It doesn't have to be yours, right? That's a reflection of how they feel inside. Because if you feel ugly inside, you're going to reflect that on the outside. Happy people, and I've tried this over and over again. Happy people say happy things. They compliment each other, right? But when you don't feel good about yourself, your actions are going to be completely reflective of that, which is why I smoked, which is why I drank, which is why I like to date those bad boys, which is why I like to date those guys that, you know, you're like the little horse chasing the carrot, you know, emotionally unavailable. Any little bit of attention they'd give me, I would just be like, oh my God, please just love me. And it was desperate. It was desperate. And I wasn't finding my own validation within my creator and recognizing that the way my creator made me was so freaking super spectacular and beautiful and wonderful and amazing. But I had to see that for myself. No one, your mom can tell you you're beautiful. Your dad can tell you you're beautiful. Your friends can tell you you're beautiful. But if you don't feel that and you don't recognize that from the divinity that you're created, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. So you really have to connect to that. And that's why meditation for me is so important, because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me connected. And it's my little way of saying, I love you to me.
How long do you meditate in the morning?
So, and this is a funny thing, and I will say this for the new parents. I used to say, oh, everybody's got 2 minutes to meditate. When you have newborn kids, that's freaking impossible. And I remember I would get really frustrated because I didn't have time to meditate, or I didn't have time to do certain things after my twins were born. And so I started feeling this little bit of like resistance, because I was like, I was tired and I wanted to meditate. And so I checked myself real quick and I was like, no. You know what? You do have certain opportunities to meditate. You might not just get to meditate the way you want to right now. So there are different ways to meditate. And so after the twins were born, I would meditate washing the dishes. I would focus on the way the water would feel running over my hands. I would focus on the bubbles. I'd focus on the sponge. I'd focus on the action of washing the dishes, because that was just a thing that had to get done. The bottles back then, I was pumping. And so they all needed to get washed and cleaned and all these different things. So, you know, cleaning the pump and all of that. I mean, it got to a point where I was feeling overwhelmed, and I had to switch that to a point where, you know what? No, this is a treat for me. This is my new way of meditating. And so that was basically the first year and a half, 2 years of their lives. And then I got a little bit of time back. And because when they were newborn, the end of the night, you just wanted to sleep. So this is my practice that I've had now again for the past almost 2 years now, again, where I'll meditate for 20 minutes before bed. And then depending on how much time I have in the mornings, I'll give myself anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes again to meditate. It doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. It's just about allowing yourself to be present and connected. And you can either sit silently and breathe and meditate. There are a lot of really great guided meditations out there as well. Or, you know what, if you're having a super crazy busy day, pay attention to the way you walk when you get to your car. How are you stepping? How are you getting into your car? You're carrying a bag. How are you placing that bag in your car when you sit in your driver's seat? You know, how are you sitting? How are you holding that steering wheel? How are you putting the car into reverse? Are you paying attention to the way you're even looking behind your shoulder to make sure that there aren't any cars coming? It's just a matter of being that aware, that in tune. And it doesn't have to be like the entire time, but at least, you know what, those 3 to 5 minutes that you are engaging in those actions, you can allow that to be a moving meditation. Or at the end of the day, when you take a shower, you know, can you feel the water at the top of your head? Can you feel it over your skin, the soap, and allowing yourself to just be grateful for the fact that, you know what, we get to have running water, right? We have the luxury of having a shower. We have the luxury of having something as simple as soap. So when you break it down like that, it allows you to be really present, but also really freaking grateful for all your blessings.
Yeah. So when in 2013, when you were hit by a car, how was that journey transformational to you?
So 2013 was the turning point for me, because it was a lot of things me coming to terms with. Again, even though I was like on the yogi path and I had like not, I had, you know, I'd quit smoking and wasn't really drinking, but again, I had some toxic people in my life, or one toxic person in my life. And I was not, by keeping this person in my life, I realized I was not in alignment with God's plan for me. And I think that God will send us signs to get us away from things that aren't good for us. And I was in a relationship with an individual that was just incredibly abusive at this point. And this is actually one of the first, the only real like bad relationship that I've ever been in. Like I dated the bad boys, but they were the fun bad boys. They were never like the bad boys. They were the fun bad boys. I dated the unemotionally available guys, but this was the guy that was just like the turning point of, oh my God, I really need to get myself straight in regards to what I want and what I deserve for a relationship. And so it all just kind of came crashing down after I got hit by the car, because I had looked both ways before crossing the street. I was actually in a parking lot walking towards my car. I was teaching like 4 yoga classes a day. 5 days out of the week, I teach 4 yoga classes. So I was teaching about 20, 21 classes a day. I went to the gym religiously. I was finishing college. I was working. And then I look both ways and I'm crossing to my car, and I really don't remember what happened after that. I just remember like this little voice inside my head just saying like, okay, get up, get up, get up, and trying to pick myself up off the gravel and like using this woman's car to like I grabbed onto her, like the trunk of her car, and tried to pull myself up, and just falling like I just crumbled back down to the floor because I couldn't stand up. And I noticed like the left side of my leg was just like, it was all bloody because I'd just been like, I guess I'd just been like dragged. I don't even know what. And you like, I could see on her windshield, like where my hand had like hit the front of her windshield, and my hand ended up getting a little bit cut up. She had run over my left foot because my left foot was like all black and blue bruised. I just remember like the aftermath of it and the injuries. I don't remember her actually hitting me with a car, and then, you know, getting taken to the hospital, having to get checked, calling my family, to see me. And my mom just had this like complete look of anguish. My brother, who's usually like incredibly busy, he came to see me, and he was just like, he's like, so he's like, you could have died. He's like, you could have died today. And my only thought was, but I didn't die. I mean, I very well could have, and I always joke, I'm like, she was going fast enough to hurt me, but not fast enough to kill me. And, you know, I ended up, they did all the tests to make sure I didn't have any internal bleeding or any major injuries. And I ended up with a sprained MCL and a deep bone bruise because my knee, like, it was like when the car hit me, like my knee kind of snapped back, and then the bones, and like when my knee snapped back into place, the bones knocked against each other. And so like on my left side, very, very gently, I can still like, I have to be a little bit careful with the left side, like when I sleep or when I lean up against things, just a little bit still. But I just remember having to go to physical therapy, and even before that, like looking up, I lived on the second floor of my apartment building at the time. This was before I had my children, and I couldn't go up my stairs. I could not walk up my stairs. And there I'd been thinking, well, you know, I practice gratitude. I like to be present, and you know, I meditate and I practice yoga and I teach yoga. But when you're looking up a flight of stairs that you're used to running up and down, like no problem. And suddenly you need to have somebody carry you up the stairs. And the doctor tells you that for a week, you can only get up to go pee and that's it, or go to the bathroom and that's it. That really, so that your body can start the healing process. That's really humbling. And I realized that as much as I thought that I had been living in gratitude, I needed to take that gratitude to a deeper level. And I've had enough experiences in my life now where I know God's ever-loving presence in my life. And that if sometimes, like when certain things, it feels like, oh my gosh, why did this happen? Or why is this suddenly removed from my life? It's because it's something, it's either a lesson that I had to learn, or it was something that was no longer healthy for me. So those things get taken away so that more healing can occur and better things can come into my life. So I just remember thinking that, already being grateful that God was healing my body and allowing myself to just take that time to be very loving with myself. Loving with my thoughts, and not, because I tend to have a little bit of a competitive streak. I do tend to be pretty competitive with my own self, not other people, just with my own self. And I just decided that, you know what, now this is going to be my time to just be in love and allow myself to heal. So as I went through like the physical therapy process, and I had so many beautiful people help me through that time. And I know that was, you know, again, that's God working through them. That's people that appreciate me, that I appreciate so deeply, because there were things that I couldn't do at the time that they did so lovingly, that I'll always be grateful for all the help that my friends and my family gave me during that time in my life. So as I'm going through physical therapy, my physical therapist, you know, she's like, wow, you're really getting stronger. You're doing really well. And I said, because this is the only time I'm ever going to come to physical therapy, I said, I'm going to go back to every single thing that I ever did before I got hit by a car. And I did, I just made that mental resolve that my body was going to heal and that I'd go back to doing everything. And sure enough, I mean, it took me, it didn't happen overnight. Nothing ever does. I mean, it took a lot of work and a lot of discipline and continued work on my part to keep my body healthy so that I don't suffer any knee pain or anything like that. And she goes, I wish more of my patients had that mentality. She goes, we've had patients here for years. She goes, because their bodies stay sick because their mind stays sick. And she said this to me. And I said, well, I said, nope. I said, my mind is only focused on the gratitude of God already healing my body. And sure enough, I mean, it's been this was in 2013. So it's been almost, yeah. It's, you know, I was blessed to go back to teaching my classes. I was blessed with an amazing pregnancy. I am blessed to be able to run after, because my kids are going to be future track stars because they love to run. These two twins of mine, they love to run, and running after them and just having that ability to run, you know, outside with them. That's a real gift. That's a privilege to be able to do that. And I don't take that lightly. I really allow myself to just enjoy those moments, because after the car hit me, you realize it's like, you can do everything right. You can look both ways before you cross the street. You can have plans for that day. I had plans. I had a client, actually, I was going to go see. And I had to call my client and be like, I'm not going to make it today. And my client got worried. What happened? I just got hit by a car. And my client was like, what? I was like, yeah, I just got hit by a car, so I won't make it today. And it was my client that actually guided me on what I needed to do right after that, because I knew that my client was going to worry. So I just remember this. So then after all that, like, she leans me back into her car. This is a whole other part of that. And I just called my client. I was like, I just got hit by a car. And he was like, okay, you need to call the police. Cause the lady, so this was the other part of this lesson that was really important. So I called my client to let him know that I was not going to make the appointment. And he tells me, okay, you need to call the police. You can't let her move her car. You need to go to the hospital. And I was like in complete shock. And so I'm like, okay, you can't move your car. And the lady's like, well, I need to get to work. Like, this lady did not even care. She's like, and when I got into her car, she's like, were you even paying attention? She was like, were you on your phone? I was like, no. I was like, if I'd been holding my phone would have flown out of my hand. I had my phone in my backpack. And she's like, well, I need to get to work. She's like, that parking spot just opened up. She's like, I can just park right there. She's like, I can move my car. And I said, ma'am, I said, I can't let you move your car. We need to do a police report. And she was just so annoyed and so aggravated over the whole thing. And my family was really pissed off. They were like, that lady that wasn't paying attention, you know, they said like all these choice words. And I said, it's not like this woman got up that this morning and was like, let me hit a pedestrian, right? It was an accident. And it was an accident because she was in a hurry and she wasn't paying attention. So I can either be pissed off and angry that she hit me because she was in a hurry, or I can take it as a lesson in many forms that, you know what, maybe we need to slow down. Maybe it's not worth being in that much of a hurry when you're driving in a parking lot that you turn a corner and you don't see somebody crossing the street. I don't know. Also, in forgiveness, because I had to forgive her. She didn't, it was a complete accident. And they were like, my family was just angry. And I was like, no, guys, I'm like, how does being angry serve any of us? I'm like, there's no point in being angry at this woman. So I released it and I genuinely forgave her because I recognized it was an accident. My family might still be a little pissed off that she hit me, but I try to share them. Like, I'm not angry. I'm not upset. Like, It was a lesson that God really wanted me to learn in gratitude and release and forgiveness and in a lot of different things. I mean, there were so many lessons that came from just that one experience.
Yeah, that definitely could have gone the other way if your mindset was in a different place. You know, you could have been bitter and angry and not be focused on what you needed to be focused on. And that's you getting yourself back into the state that you need to be in, the physical state. So it's, that's a interesting story that, really interesting story that you were able to overcome, you know.
And now I'll be 40 in January. And I mean, I have gone back to all my normal activities and I still find different ways to push myself physically and mentally and to continue to learn more, because the learning process, it never ends. And how much of what I learn actually gets applied to my life. And none of the things or my thought process had that accident happened to me in my early 20s, I probably would have been poor me the rest of my life. And I would probably smoke and probably find a reason to, you know, need to take some kind of medication because, well, my knee hurt. Well, because this lady wasn't paying attention and she hit me. Because there really are two different ways that your mind can go, right? But it's the story that you choose to attach to it at the end of the day and how you manage your state of mind, right? How you choose to manage your state of mind, because it's not within the control of anybody else. Your state of mind is all within your own control. And that's when you gain your power back, when you realize that my state of mind is no one else's responsibility. It's not because of anybody else. Just because somebody says that they don't like that I'm wearing a pink shirt today and all of a sudden now my feelings are hurt. No, that's on them. I chose my pink shirt because I like my pink shirt and I'm going to wear my pink shirt and it's going to make me feel good. Not bad because so-and-so told me they don't like my pink shirt. But we've become so conditioned to react that way and think that way that, oh my God, well, why did they say that? Or why did they think that, as opposed to just being confident in the choice that you made to wear your pink shirt, right? All these little choices add up in the biggest of ways, so that way you can live as happy, a joyful and peaceful life as possible. I mean, it's not always perfect. I still, like, I'm human, and we all have our moments of short temperedness, but that's when you check yourself and you're like, okay, maybe, you know what? Maybe I didn't eat very well yesterday. Maybe I didn't sleep enough the day before. And that's when you have to realize, okay, one, apologize that you were wrong. And two, make sure that, you know what, if you need to rest, get the rest that you need. Check yourself why you've spread yourself so thin that you're not getting the rest that you need. And make sure that you are hydrating and eating the foods that you need so that your body functions optimally. Because it's not about vanity when it comes to food and movement. It's really about sanity and how the right foods make your body feel better and work better. And with a little bit of movement, that those two just complement each other. And that's really what keeps me going throughout the day, is just continually checking my mindset and, you know, where are my thoughts going? Where am I going? But again, that's all thanks to the yoga training and the meditating and reading and breathing, allowing myself to really be objective in my actions, my thoughts, and my behaviors.
So we meditation, I believe, is yoga is so important to our well-being. And why do you believe, or what is the purpose of this life we're living?
Oh man, that is a great question. I think the purpose, I sometimes think that Earth is like a training ground. It is the ultimate training ground to teach us what real unconditional love is, what real forgiveness is, and what real compassion is. Because I'm not blind enough to think that there are not atrocious things that happen in the world, right? But I also know that there are people that have experienced terrible hardships, and they've still gone on to love, to forgive, to be compassionate, and to continue to find joy within their lives. But it's really a matter of how we train our minds to perceive these things. It really is all just a matter of perception, and you can either be the victim or the survivor. And there may be times when you were a victim and that was not your fault, but you get to choose the ultimate outcome of whether you stay the victim or you become the survivor. And with all the things that have happened in my life, I never wanted to be the victim. I recognized the traumas that happened for what they were and pulled myself out of that and chose to always fall on the side of the survivor. Because the survivor is where there's clarity. The survivor is where there's freedom, where there's joy, where there's love, where you can look at other people that are suffering and go, oh, they're suffering too. Maybe I can help them. And if I can't, maybe somebody else can. Right? Because we're all one. We're all in this together. And that's why I think that this is really just a training ground. And we're here ultimately to experience real, beautiful love and compassion and kindness and gratitude, because there's a word in Spanish, it's called rencores, those angers, those anchors, right, that you hold on to, they hold on to you and they hold you back. They really hold you back. But it's the minute that you release them and you forgive, that's where you find freedom. That's where you find the joy in your life again. That's where you can learn to love without condition and not be like, well, I'm only going to love you if you love me back. Or I'm only going to love you if you're this way. No, I love you just as you are. I love you just as you are. I make sure my kids know that I love them just as they are. That they are magnificent, beautiful little human beings. That I am blessed to be their mother. And I make sure they know that every day.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. How can people get in contact with you for your services? What's your contact information?
They can contact me. They can find me through my email, which is sylviamor@outlook.com. I'm also on Instagram as @yoginisyl or on Facebook as well.
And to end the interview, I love asking the guests, what would you leave with our audience? Like something to, like one to grow on. What would be that one to grow on?
Don't forget how magical you are. And if I could just share one story of why that's what I choose. I was playing a game with my daughter last year. And it's a game where they jump into my arms and my daughter looks at me and she goes, Mommy, she goes, you're so magical. And her eyes were sparkling. And then my son looks at me and he goes, Mommy, you're so magical. And I looked at both of them and I go, you guys think I'm magical? And without even thinking a split second, my daughter goes, of course you're magical, Mommy. God made you.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.